Welcome to The Authentic Life with KL, the podcast where we throw out the rule book, where we dive in head first to the real and raw, unapologetic journey of living the best life. That includes lots of music. This is your go-to space for empowerment, for deep healing, and owning your authenticity like the boss that you are. We're here to break down walls and slay self-doubt. Dive to the soundtrack of your soul. Every beat and lyric will move through stories that heal and empower. You can live your fullest and most badass life. Welcome to The Authentic Life with KL. This episode of The Authentic Life of KL is brought to you by Break the Silence, a nonprofit created using music as a platform to raise awareness for mental health, suicide prevention, and recovery of all kinds, offering hope and starting the hard conversations to bring communities together. Hey guys, it's Kitty, and today I have with me Joey Cox from Lane's Calling. How are you?
Wonderful. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for jumping on. I'm excited to learn a little bit more about you and kind of your journey. So my first question is this. It's always this. The world is this gross place. At least I think it's gross a lot of the time. And there is a lot of lacking and a lot of heaviness in the world. What is something that inspires you?
That absolute thing, just the heaviness of the world and being able to help other human beings. I think a lot of times society as a whole tends to forget that people are first and foremost still people. I actually kind of talked about this with a friend last night. I feel like internet culture has kind of separated a lot of people from having normal human interaction. We have become so conditioned to those surface interactions that we don't know how to withhold a conversation of substance for longer than 5 minutes.
It's true. And it makes, I think that there's a lot of people that get uncomfortable in real conversations. And that, you know, that's part of the reason why I have the podcast and things like that, is just because I think people do lose sight of we're all human and we're always buried in our phones or in something to distract us from like other people and just living life. Your music does touch a lot on mental health. Have you had any pushback from people or from, I guess, supporters, listeners, radio, anybody in the industry on talking about mental health within your music?
As far as talking about mental health, no. We had a lot of people who were less than excited to see how far we went with our message. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that, hate to say it, comes down to the envy aspect of the music industry. One thing I've noticed about the music industry, it is full of egos. So nobody wants to see you doing better than them. They all want to see you do good. They just don't want to see you doing better than them. So we kind of hit the alternative rock genre. There's multiple interviews just really quick. So I think there was a lot of people who kind of pushed back against that aspect. But as far as the mental health message, I've never seen any flack from that.
Did you or have you had a hard time? We're called The Authentic Life because we're trying to work with just humanity to find out who they really are. Have you had a hard time maintaining authenticity since you started music up until now?
No, I think that's one thing I've kind of always prided myself on. People are going to love me for me, and I would rather you hate me because I am who I am than you love me for somebody I'm not at all. And plain and simple, I've never looked to other people for validation. My main mission with music was it was a way for me to get the darkest side of me and my darkest thoughts out in a healthy manner instead of my self-destructive behaviors and my manic behaviors. And I use that to the fullest extent. So my goal with music was always to hopefully, if somebody resonates with the songs that we are making and we're putting out and it helps, then we've accomplished our mission.
I love that. Do you tend to, when you write songs, especially when you're writing about the personal experiences or just struggles, do you tend to write and then like wipe your hands clean of it? Or do you know what I mean? Like, is it a I'll write letters and burn them and it's gone. At least I try to work that way. You know what I'm saying? Is that something that
Yeah,
you
I
do?
think in theory, I'd like to think that's how
Yeah.
my writing process goes, but I mean, I think reality of it is, and I think the reality of mental health in general is we're working at it daily, and it's a it there is no end all be all for it. Everybody, and that's the biggest thing, is everybody has their individual personality. It's what makes us unique. With that, everybody's mental health and the signs and symptoms of having a lacking mental health or a struggling mental health. I think a lot of people, you have to take it on an individual basis. I don't think there's an end all be all for that. So, yeah, I'd like to think that part of it is very therapeutic, but the other aspect of that are some of those issues that I talk about are things that we have to work at daily.
Yeah, I think that I want to say that that's beautiful that it unites us all as humans, that that's what we do have to do. Because I think a lot of times people, and there might be small things that we can, or whatever, you know, like write it and it go away. But I do think the internalization that we do with a lot of our grief and a lot of the struggles that we have, I think it takes more than just one time. I think it's just a consistent self-reflection of a lot of those things, because some of that stuff does hold on a lot. Why do you think music and mental health are so integrated? At least they are for you and myself. Why do you think that?
I could go on for hours about this. I think artists in general, people who create, and I really do think the most beautiful art comes from people's trauma. As sad as that is, but I find there is beauty in death, there's beauty in life. You have this cool duality moment of light and dark consistently. So I think, honestly, some of my favorite artists, they speak from places of trauma, and real trauma, I think, creates real art.
I think so too. I think we have those. We talk a lot about light switch moments in the group that I teach and just in the podcast and things like that. Like, usually you have these life altering moments to where you go from this was this way and then suddenly it's no longer this way ever again. You're a completely different person. And I think that the more that we acknowledge and the more that we talk about those things, it gives other people permission slips to share those stories because it is something that unites us. It's not always just fun things, but I do think there's beauty in that. I love that you said that. I'm a balanced person and light and dark. It's all.
Oh, absolutely. You can't have one without the other, and that's I see it in the tattoo industry all the time. Some of the greatest artists I meet, there's some really messed up individuals, and it doesn't mean I love them any less. I might hold them at a further distance, but they create very beautiful art, and I think the same can be said for the music industry as well.
Yeah, I think anybody who's creative, I think that that's just part of the gift that comes with the madness, perhaps.
Absolutely.
Right. And then I guess the other side is as if someone didn't experience these things that so many people have experienced, then no one would be able to look at them and say that they made it or feel some familiarity within in front of them with the art, I think.
The beauty's in the struggle.
Yeah, I taught a class the other day and it said, what if joy is the compass, not the destination? And I like that because I was like, if you follow where there's that beauty, you know, that's always within the struggle. It's not the destination because you don't know where that's going to be. Has there been a time in your life where music has saved you as far as I use this the quote, sometimes a lyric can be a lifeline. Have you had moments of that?
Every album I've written. So I'm a big proponent. I don't listen to my tracks before I go in the studio. I let my guys record what they have, and then I'll wait until I get in the studio, and whatever comes out while I'm in that vocal booth, that's what gets put on the album. I feel like that's the rawest side of me. It's you're getting what you get. And unfortunately, every time I've done that, or every time we've gone to record an album, I've been going, we've gone through some massive shifts in our life. And I speak on all of them in every one of my songs. So, yeah.
Yeah. Do you have songs from when you were younger, like certain artists that you would listen to as struggles that you would go through, say as a teenager or something like that? Do you have songs
Oh,
or
absolutely.
bands?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Linkin Park's probably one of my top favorite or top all time. So, absolutely.
Love those
Once
people.
again, another place of struggle.
Yeah. No, there's beauty within it for sure. I did read, I'm gonna kind of read a little bit here that I have. I read that you have used your own personal experiences for the lyrics of the song Not Well. Do you mind if we talk about that a little bit?
Oh, absolutely.
It says in here that the song was created to help bring attention to the many issues and bring attention of the veterans suffering from PTSD every day. And I have many friends, and so that very much struggle with this. And so when I heard your song, it impacted me just enough to be able to share with them. Can you talk a little bit about the significance for you?
So I wrote that song from a very, very dark place, mentally. My wife and I and my youngest daughter had just moved back from Florida. I mean, I wouldn't say we failed, just more so life happens and you either continue to move with it or you don't. But the fact of the matter is life's going to continue to go on and it's going to continue to push forward. And I think sometimes you get comfortable in the suffering of that. For me, Not Well was shortly after the end of my military career, which that's a whole another podcast in itself. But I hit a very, very, very low point in my life, and for whatever reason, I had been sitting on a porch of someone that I never thought I'd be sitting with, and Not Well's lyrics came about. And funny story, I never imagined being the vocalist on the song. I'd played guitar for 15 years, so I'd written the guitar parts for the song already, and I just didn't trust anybody else to handle what I was trying to create. And I ended up, after going maybe 2 years without having any kind of vocals for it, my wife finally talked me into going into the studio and recording what I had. And after much back and forth with her on that, I finally did, and Not Well came about.
Yeah, it's really impactful and grateful that you wrote that just because it does paint a picture of some of the things that I've sat with people with as well. So I do appreciate that you share your story through your lyrics very much so. Did you think that the song would be so impactful? Because I'm sure you have had people tell you
Not at
how
all.
impactful it was to them.
Yeah, no, my big thing with it was, like I said, I was in a very, very dark place, and that was my way, my therapy. I have my only hope with recording it and putting it out there to the world was maybe, hopefully, somebody else who felt like they were in those same places, mentally. Hopefully they could grasp onto that and it would help them in a darker time.
Yeah, I
So to hear
definitely.
that it, so to hear that it has helped people in such a way, that's all the validation I need as an artist.
Yeah, I love that. I think that so many times I hear especially with my veteran friends that do struggle with the PTSD. It's like, I think people think a lot of time that, if you'll just give me a chance, I'll come in and fix you, or different things like that. And I found that in those times, they just want someone to sit there because no one really knows those places that their mind goes. And so the fact that they could see it and say, "Me too," someone else has felt this whenever it's not talked about very much, especially within, I say, men overall, and especially within veterans, it's not talked about.
Oh, absolutely. And the unfortunate side for the veteran aspect, especially guys who walk with the combat MOS, we're taught when we come back from Afghanistan or our deployments, you don't talk to psych because that's the end of your career. You can't carry a gun, you can't work in your field. So a lot of these guys go years without ever being diagnosed, and then most of the time it's too late. And then we sit back and we go, well, why do we have 22 guys a day taking their own lives? Well, because they're not talking.
They're very much separated from, I won't say humans, but I know everybody's thrown back into society, and then no one really understands unless you do, right? And then everybody's separated. And so it's definitely not, and there's not that, support. What do you think is lacking in a community and society where there's not that empathy or the not understanding? What do you think it is that's lacking?
I think a lot of the empathy and understanding goes back to just how disconnected from each other we've become as human beings. I mean, we have our phones for everything at this point. Oh, I don't like what you're talking about. Cool, I'm gonna scroll to the next TikTok story. And people apply that in every aspect of their life. Hey, if I don't like what you're talking about, I'll just walk away.
Yeah.
You
If they're
know,
even listening, sometimes they're like,
yeah.
while you're trying to tell a story, and you're like, just never mind.
Yeah, no, you've got the people who want to play the one-up card, or oh, I went through this so much worse than you. And that used to bother me back in the day, not so much anymore, because now I'm just like, that's where you're at in your walk of life, and I hope it gets better for you. I think there's a lot that we can do to improve the treatment side of mental health that I think goes untalked about. I think a lot of people have come to this closed-mindedness. There's a end all be all to fixing depression and or any kind of mental illness for that matter. And there's not. What works for me may not work for you, and it may not work for somebody else down the street. You know, my saving grace mentally was Jesus and finding God. And I don't expect everybody else to find that same peace that I did. I will say personally, for me, once I started following and believing, my life got tremendously easier, and I see it every day. But I don't expect that to be everybody else's saving grace.
Sure.
We all experience this thing we call life from different walks of it. You could have two people living on the same block, not living the same life. And I think that's where we as society have kind of gotten this formed this misconception. There is a one all be all. Oh, here, take a handful of these pills. That'll make it
Yeah.
work. Well, that's cool, but the problem with taking those pills, it prevents me from getting too high as well. Instead, I'm just stuck in this firm middle ground,
Yeah.
and there is no, okay, cool, I don't get excited at graduations like everybody else
Well,
does, or whatever
just
the case may
numbs you.
be. Yeah, it keeps you in that static place. So I think we need to start looking at the treatment of mental health before we can start figuring out the fix for mental health.
Yeah, and I think looking at it in on an individual basis, because some people can struggle with depression and be just fine for like 5 years, and something happen and then them tank, and then no one knows anything's really wrong with them because no one really knows what's behind the smiles of everybody. So the individuality is really important with all, I think, all treatment. It whether it be in treatment, whether it be with friends, going to church, whatever it may be, but it's definitely lacking.
Absolutely.
That's true. That's true. Do you have another song that you want to talk about that may have a meaning for you that is impactful for you?
Really, any song on our initial EP that was released by Pavement, what came from a dark place. The song "Break Me," that was kind of my cool. This world can completely beat me down and continue to do so, but at the end of the day, I'm still going to get back up. And that was kind of the message with that song. I noticed on the album I had a lot of songs that were kind of just, okay, I'm hitting on this is what I'm going through and this is what I've been through, but how do I recover from this?
What is the difference between I would say mental health, but maybe just your life in general from before when you felt like you were falling and there was no hope versus when you started following Jesus or when you started going to church? What was there a turning point when that happened, or was it just kind of a gradual?
I got to a point where I was going to lose everything I cared about in my life, and it's really weird. People find Jesus at their, and I don't want to say their lowest points, but I feel like people find Jesus when they need it most, and that's kind of where I was at. It was okay. I'm going to lose everything. Where I mean, I'm going to change my life in a very drastic way. And there was no middle ground there. It was to the point where you might not wake up tomorrow at this point. So we got to make some changes, and it's got to be quick. And fortunately for me, I won't say quick. It's still an everyday process, and it's still a everyday treatment. But I noticed relatively quickly just by the changes in my attitude, my habits. Like I said, I don't expect everybody to find that healing from that. Now, due to my faith, what I'd love to say, yeah, that's great. I hope everybody does, and I do. I hope everybody does. But first and foremost, I hope everybody finds the therapy and I guess, their fix for whatever it is they're going through.
Yeah, I happen to. Our group used to be called Blend Your Spirit because we're a whole bunch of different beliefs all blended together. But for me, ultimately, it all leads to the same path. I was raised Christian. And so for me, it's God, source, universe, light, light, go to the light. It's always trying to be that light in the dark place because I think that's where things are illuminated and that's where healing begins when there's that safe space for people.
Absolutely.
What do you hope that people walk away from your music with, if there was a gift or something that they walked away with?
I guess at the end of the day, I hope that people can listen to our music and they can relate. And I think that's the same with almost any artist who is producing any kind of music at this point. In day and age, my biggest takeaway is I hope if somebody is in a dark place themselves that they can turn on Elaine's Calling track and it can keep them from making decisions that they can't come back from. Or maybe it helps calm somebody down during a manic episode or whatever the case may be. I guess my biggest accomplishment, or I would feel most accomplished just in knowing that it helps somebody else. And that doesn't necessarily have to be help somebody off the edge. If it just helped you have a better day, then awesome.
Yeah, helped you not feel alone finally.
Absolutely.
Because I know that there is struggle with that. Do you have anything coming up as far as with the band or with you?
Personally, I stay working on music. That's if I'm not in the tattoo shop working in and creating art there, then I'm in the studio working, creating music, or I'm in my bedroom writing and creating on my guitar. So I stay creating music. I can't speak for the rest of the guys right now. I know our lead guitar player, he just had a baby, so he's kind of doing the bad dad thing right now and enjoying that. So
Okay.
Good Lane's Calling have a reunion at some point. I'll never take that off the table. As far as me solo wise, I'll always continue to bring music to people.
Yeah, it's needed. It's needed for sure. Where can people find your music and all your good stuff?
Anywhere you can find music, plain and simple. If it
Perfect.
exists on the internet, we're probably on it. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Apple Music, all those cool streaming sites now.
Perfect. Perfect. Nope. I love that. I am sharing away some of those songs to my guys that I know. So I
Oh,
love
thank you
that.
so much.
Yeah, and thank you so much for being this mirror for people who are going through similar things, because you're a little bit further in the journey than some people, and I do think that
It
it
took a
helps.
very, and I hope people understand this. It's not something where I don't wake up every day and I have to go, okay, this is what I need to do for my mental health so that I stay constant, so I stay heading in the right direction. And it is something that I work at every single day and devote myself to every day. A lot of it, and I think I don't want to summarize everybody, but I think a lot of it for me personally was easily getting stuck in the same routine. Okay, now I'm in this depression cycle. This is what I'm going to do day in and day out. I'm going to dread waking up. I'm going to dread doing this. And I think that's where people misconceive with depression. It's the absolute, I dread doing the smallest task out of the day. So God forbid you ask me to do something bigger than myself because I'm going to have a complete nuclear meltdown.
Sometimes taking a shower is all you can do that day if you're
Yeah,
depressed, and that's okay.
and it takes every ounce of energy out of you to do that, you
Yeah.
know? So I don't want people to think that seeing me now, that this is where I was always at. No, it took years of struggle and heartache and just going through it. But now I've kind of figured out, okay, this is what works for me. This is how I get from day to day. And that's the other aspect, just treating it day by day. We're humans and nothing is constant.
Yeah, absolutely. Self-love is paramount. Self-love is
Yes.
paramount.
Don't ever get that part of it.
Yeah, I think that we're taught that self-love and taking care of yourself is selfish. And in the end, if we don't take care of ourselves, we can't take care of everyone else or even help anyone else that's struggling, really. That's just the reality of it.
Don't use the bricks you're building your house with, giving them away to everybody else, because then everybody else is going to have their house built and you're just going to be left with a pile of nothing.
Great. That's a great thought. That it's not a great thought, but it's a great thought.
Yeah,
It's a great
no,
comparison
it's,
because it
yeah.
is. It's true.
I think that happens with a lot of people who go through lows in their depression is we give so much of ourselves to everybody else and then we're just left empty and alone, and that's where the depression kicks in and takes over.
Yeah, and I think it's hard because I feel good when I'm doing things for other people. But there is, again, with anything, too much of it is not healthy either. If you're doing it a lot of times, it's that way you don't have to look at your own stuff
Oh,
usually.
absolutely. Absolutely.
So we need to not do that either. So it's just this fine balance of it. And I don't know. I think that if we just talk more about it, then it would be better all the way around.
Well, and that's the other aspect to it. It's scary if you look at the numbers of depressed people now as compared to 20 and 30 years ago, it's astronomical. But if you look at the shift, the cultural shift that we've had, what was introduced 20 to 30 years ago, we have the internet. And now we have, I think humans are social people. We need that social interaction. So not having that and being able to replace that with a screen on our hand. Okay, I want to wake up and go to Italy today. Well, I can do that because I have the power of the internet at my hands. I think that instant gratification, it's kind of disconnected humans from what life really is.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think the need for community is really important, even though a lot of times, and I myself am guilty, like I do not want all these people. I like nobody
Oh.
needs to know my business, whatever it is. But I think that there is beauty and vulnerability with boundaries. But I think that there is that. Like it used to be, like everybody lived in a community, everybody helped each other, everybody, you plant this and I'm gonna do this and you hunt. And now we're all separated in our own homes and we're terrified of each other because, we've been hurt or what we've been told, all those different things.
Oh,
It's
absolutely.
tragic. So I always end the podcast with this question. If someone came to you and they were struggling, what is some words of wisdom that you would give them?
That's hard because this goes back to an individual basis. I think that's goes back to societal norms. We want to offer that cookie cutter response to everybody. Oh, don't worry, it gets better. Don't take your life today. It's gets better. Fact of the matter is, for some, it doesn't always get better. So honestly, it wouldn't just be words. It would be, let's sit down and have a real conversation. Let's have some real interaction. Do you want to go get some lunch? And that's been my approach with anybody who I know struggle mentally. One of the great things we used to do as society back in the day, I don't know about everybody else's family, but my family used to do big family get-togethers every day. And I think that's really essential for any kind of community is just having that interaction and that, okay, I know there are other people out here and they do feel like me or they do care about me. So I think to say it, to say it at least, and to say that, okay, here are a few words of wisdom. I don't think you can do that anymore. I think we have to start examining things on a more cellular level.
I love that answer because I very much I'm like I'll sit with you in the dark. I'm not going to sit there forever. Some of the things we do have to do ourselves, but we can
Absolutely.
be there. We can be there. And I think one of the things I've learned is that I can ask, are you wanting me to listen or listen to respond has been a huge thing for me too, because sometimes they don't want a response. They just want a body there that deems them as valuable to sit there with them, and that's okay too.
I met this 73-year-old veteran back in December of this year. And at first, I was very hesitant on because I didn't know anything about him at first. All I knew him as was the homeless man who carries all of his belongings up and down the street in front of my house in a basket every day. And one night it was starting to storm here, and I had seen him under a bridge and went down. And the first thing I wanted to do was offer him money, but he didn't want it. He didn't want the jacket I was offering him or the shoes that I was offering him. The only thing he wanted was human interaction. And that was something that people would pass him up every day after day without offering him. All he wanted was somebody to talk to for a few minutes. So, me and my wife made it our mission every time we seen Robert to go and stop and say hi and talk to him, ask him if he needed anything, but more than anything, just to listen. And it's actually kind of the story's kind of sad because I haven't seen him in a couple of months. And I say it's sad, but the other side to that is I'm hoping that he's in a place where I don't have to see him on the street anymore.
Yeah. Human interaction. If you're listening to this, human interaction.
You asked me about the one thing I want people to take away from anything I do. Get that human interaction, that one-on-one interaction with somebody. Because you really don't know just by listening who you're going to help.
It's true. It's so true. And I mean, if you were able to help someone who was just a passerby, imagine what we can do to people that we talk to on a regular basis. Human interaction is huge. Thank you so much for coming on.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. The Authentic Life with KL and Break the Silence are two healing missions aligning to support mental health, all wellness and recovery, offering hope and amplifying the light.